Please open with me your scriptures to Hebrews chapter 4, where we will be reading from verses 1 to verse 14. Tonight we continue looking at a letter to the Hebrews to understand how our confidence in Christ gives us rest. Hebrews 4, from verse 1 to verse 14. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Amen. There are many ways in which we become restless and worn out in this world. It's not just the bodily exhaustion and pain, but also the exhaustion of our mind and the restlessness of our heart. We lose our peace because of our frustrations and disappointments. We either fail to achieve what we plan for, or we fail to enjoy what we desire. You may have had hopes and plans for this year that have failed. You might have hoped to enjoy some things, but you were stopped by various circumstances. In this fallen world, we are always pursuing something. And even when we get what we want, we are still restless because we want something more or something else. The first time you bought a smartphone, you were probably very excited about it. In the first week, you probably thought that you hold in your hand a piece of magical technology. And by the second week, maybe it became just the new normal. By the third week, it was just ordinary. And in a few months, there was a new smartphone out, so maybe you felt like me, outdated and left behind. We often go through cycles of excitement and disappointment, not just with silly gadgets, but also the more serious things in life. There might be highs, there might be lows, but our walk in this life oftentimes seems to be like a never-ending roller coaster. There might be reasons to be sorry, reasons to be jolly, but one thing keeps coming after another. There is no rest from it. There is no real stop to it. In a world of restlessness, we are here tonight to learn how we can find true and lasting rest in the gospel. Because Christ is our perfect mediator, we are called to enter by faith in his rest. Because Christ is our perfect mediator, we are called to enter by faith in his unfailing rest. If you are troubled by your failures or exhausted by your fears, if you feel that all is vanity and striving after wind, if you're restless about the future or tormented about the past, remember Christ, who was crucified for our sins, who went through the darkest moments of anguish on the cross. He cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that he would provide rest for us, saying on the same cross, it is finished. We have rest in Christ because he took upon himself our sins and he leads us to the heavenly Jerusalem. He was condemned for our sins so that we would be acquitted through his innocence. Because the saving work of Christ is finished, we find an unfailing rest in him. We will seek to understand this looking at three things. First, we are in great need of an unfailing rest. Second, only Christ can give us such a true and lasting rest. And third, we receive the rest of God even now by faith. Let us consider then, first, that we are in great need of an unfailing rest. We need a rest that we are naturally lacking. We take naps, we sleep during the night, but that doesn't give us rest for our souls. Just as we need physical rest, we also need a spiritual rest. And this is the purpose of the exhortation to fear in verse 1, where we read, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. This is not an exhortation to a fear that makes you scared or makes you want to run away, but a call to paying attention, a call to a consciousness that makes you aware of your great need for the rest of God. This is the ultimate rest for which we were created. This is the rest mentioned in verse 4, a rest that was made ready before there was any need for salvation. But a fall into sin disrupted the initial state of peace and innocence of Adam and Eve and stopped Adam and Eve from their path towards gaining eternal rest through their obedience. But God did not leave Adam and Eve only under a curse. He also announced to them a good news about a man born of woman who will be victorious against the devil and will lead the people of God to the rest that the first Adam failed to achieve. This is the need of rest that we also find expressed in our text. A rest made impossible by sin, a rest needed as an escape from our state of sinfulness. Verse 2 refers to the generation that died in the wilderness and did not enter the rest of God, saying, good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. They were rescued by God from the slavery of Egypt. They were offered a land where rest would be found, a place where God would reign and from where sin would be kept away. And that land was supposed to be a temporary place of rest until the last Adam would come. But that generation rebelled just like Adam and Eve, and they refused the rest of God. Only two men, Joshua and Caleb, entered the land because the rest of the people did not share in their faith. For the rest who rebelled, sin brought guilt, guilt brought a curse, and the curse brought a punishment. In verse 3, the author of Hebrews is quoting Psalm 95, where God makes an oath to keep out the unbelieving generation from the land. And Psalm 95 itself quotes Numbers 14, where this oath takes place. Those who don't receive God's good news with faith are kept out of the place for rest because they did not share in the faith of Joshua and Caleb. Today, we are not literally walking through the desert from Egypt to Canaan, but people still die in a spiritual wilderness of this world, being tormented by their guilt, troubled by their curse and punishment. How can someone escape guilt, the curse, and the punishment? Who can give us true and lasting rest? This takes us to our second point. We are in great need of an unfailing rest. And second, only Christ, as our perfect mediator, can offer us such a true and lasting rest. We cannot find true and lasting rest in things that are fallen and passing. Things that are temporary and finite cannot be the source for an eternal and everlasting rest. What is the rest that we all need? It is an unbreakable fellowship with God and with each other, a removal of the burden of guilt, a renewal of our sinful souls. While many things in this world might promise to offer us rest, Christ is calling us to his rest, saying in the gospel, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for our souls." The rest of Christ is not like the rest of Canaan. In the land of Canaan, Israel was offered only a temporary rest, a fragile rest. It was not the rest of the heavenly kingdom of God, but a temporary rest of preservation in an earthly land until Messiah would come. Yes, Joshua and Caleb entered that land together with the generation born in the desert. But did they have rest in that land? Verse 8 in our text suggests that Joshua did not give them rest. They did enter in the land, but enjoying the rest of God in that temporary land was possible only through their obedience. Like Adam, they failed to obey God, and they had anything but rest. One of the ways to understand in more detail why Hebrews 4 says that Joshua didn't give them rest is to take maybe a couple of hours of our time and read through the book of Judges in one sitting. If we would do that, we would see that things go from bad to worse. Centuries of wars, idolatry, immorality, exile, ruination. There is no rest in the land. Only brief glimpses of peace. And in those brief moments of rest, God turns the attention of the people towards Christ that was to come. In one such glimpse of peace, God announces the good news again. He speaks to David, promising that his son will bring true and lasting peace. In 2 Samuel 7, God speaks of that peace when he says to David, "I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. The Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. I will raise up your offspring after you who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Who is the son of David that brings rest and peace? Well, Solomon was the son of David who was crowned as king. His name means peace. And he was wise and good for a while. But soon he failed. He fell into idolatry. After his death, the nation was divided. They were later taken into exile. Joshua didn't give them rest. Solomon didn't give them peace. That's why God continues to call his people to rest. They are called to rest in the one who is coming, in the son of David, in the new Joshua, the one who is born in Bethlehem. He leads us not towards an earthly land in Palestine, but to heavenly Jerusalem. He does not offer us shadows and a temporary rest, but the reality of what Adam and Joshua failed to achieve. The people of Israel were looking forward to the coming of the one who would bring them into that rest of God. Those who received the promises of God by faith were looking forward to the same Christ that we trust in. What is then the difference between them and us? They were looking forward to something that was going to come, but we are looking back at what Christ has done. And this has great importance for our rest. We are not resting on something that will happen, but we are resting on something that has happened. Christ was born of the Virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He was resurrected and ascended to the right hand of God, where he is our high priest and he protects his church. Why is this important for our rest? This brings us to our third point. We are in great need of an unfailing rest. Only Christ can give us such a true and lasting rest. And third, we enter God's rest even now by faith. The rest that is offered to us is not just the consolation that one day our bodies will be raised from the dead to live on a new earth and under a new sun. It's not speculation about an invisible reality, but partaking of a new creation by faith in the reality of the incarnation, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. Verse 3, as well as the quotes from Psalm 95, reinforce the fact that this entering is a present entering. It's not just an anticipation or an early rejoicing of the resurrection, but receiving now rest by faith in the Word of God. The reality of our rest is not only future, but also past and present, grounded on what Christ has accomplished in history. That is why we have rest in the present in a way in which Israel did not have. The ground of our reconciliation with God, the ground of our sanctification, the ground of our glorification is a historical reality that occurred 2,000 years ago, the death and resurrection of Christ, by which we are justified, sanctified, and glorified. But how can we have rest because of something that someone did 2,000 years ago in Palestine? We are surrounded by a world that is agitated and anxious. Is it really possible for us to really have rest in a restless world? As one author has put it, possibility produces anxiety. There are so many things that might or might not happen. You might be healthy or you might get sick. You might get a raise or you might lose your job. You might enjoy lasting relationships, or you might be abandoned by your friends. These different possibilities produce anxiety. But when we come to hear the preaching of the gospel, we must remember that it's not the preaching of a possibility. It's a preaching of a reality. A work of Christ that was finished, a perfect sacrifice, a perfect mediation that has occurred in history and that produces effects in our lives. True and lasting rest came to us through the obedience of Christ, the second Adam. And we receive this rest not through some kind of private mystical experience, but as we come and we worship God with these people, as we hear the word proclaimed and the sacraments administered. When do we receive the rest of God? When we confess our sins and Christ declares us justified. When we are instructed to rest from our evil works. When we learn to anticipate and to think about the new heavens and the new earth. When we come in worship and we receive these blessings through the means of grace, we receive the unfailing rest of God. You might have asked yourself, is what we do here on Sunday really restful? Maybe your back hurts from sitting in these pews, which are not the most comfortable pews in the world. Maybe your mind is exhausted by listening to 2 sermons and a Sunday school lesson every Sunday. But in spite of how our body might feel after sitting in these pews, here there is a rest that cannot be found even in the most comfy armchair. By faith, we are united to Christ and made partakers in his victory. Our life is no longer a never-ending roller coaster, but we receive an otherworldly rest by stopping from our ordinary work and worshiping God on his day. We enter God's everlasting rest even now as we hear God's word with faith and we worship him with thanksgiving. Our past is washed clean and our future is secure. So we don't need to be troubled or anxious because in Christ we have all that is his. Looking at this text, you may have wondered if this rest is based on what Christ has done. Why is there so much emphasis on fearing and entering? Why so many warnings and imperatives? Because the subjective enjoyment of the rest of God is not an immediate, automatic, and passive partaking of the benefits of Christ. Objectively, we have all that is Christ when we first believe. But taking subjective possession of those benefits, of those blessings, is a lifelong process. God gives us spiritual blessings under visible means. Ministers and elders in flesh and blood that can be seen and heard. Water, bread, and wine that can be touched and tasted. We are justified by the finished work of Christ, but we hear the declaration of pardon every week when we come here. We are unlocked from the slavery of sin through the death and resurrection of Christ. But we are instructed in fighting against sin when we come together and we hear the preaching of the word. Our souls are resurrected, but we still wait for that last redemptive act of God when our bodies and the whole creation will also be regenerated. In other words, God uses the sanctification of his day, our observance of the seventh day, the attendance to the means of grace, and other aspects of our sanctification to give us possession of eternal, restful life. This possession will always be partial and imperfect here on earth in this life. But it is nonetheless real, and we will be completed at Christ's second coming. When we come by faith in worshiping before God, we don't come to hear a curse of exclusion from his rest, but rather to be comforted that his rest is ours. We enter in that rest which was prepared since the beginning of the world. Through His Word, God brings to light our sin so that we don't have to hide it, but rather we confess it. Having a great high priest, we come before God in worship knowing that we are forgiven. By the indwelling of the Spirit, we are empowered to begin slowly to live according to all of God's commandments. By the means that God appointed, we enjoy, even now, eternal rest. And now, when we are concluding yet another year of joys and disappointments, we don't know what the next year will hold for us in this fallen world. It might be better, it might be worse. But what we do know is that by holding fast to our confession, by placing our confidence in Christ in the midst of our pilgrimage, we enter His rest. We enjoy true, lasting, and unfailing peace. Many things might bring you sorrow, frustration, and even tears in the year that is to come. But do not be discouraged. Hold fast to your confession. Enter His rest by hearing His holy word with faith and responding with thanksgiving worship. Be thankful for the 52 days of rest that we had this past year, and be ready to use the 52 Lord's days in the year to come and in the coming years until He will return to give His church a complete rest from any struggle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Your only Son to give us rest from our tormenting guilt. We thank You that in our Lord Jesus Christ, You give us rest not only from the evils of this world, but You also give us rest from ourselves and our sinful desires. Father, we long for Your rest. We desire Your peace. We pray, Lord, that You will give us a complete peace, and we hope and wait for the day of the resurrection. Help us, Lord, to hold fast to our confession of Jesus Christ as long as we live. In His name we pray. Amen.